Yesterday night I put before you what is spirituality. So spirituality is to know the spirit in man and the old spirit overhead. For that it is basic teachings given by all masters who came in the past. Those who ever met them, they gave them a demonstration of who we are, what we are. All masters, whether of the East or the West, both, first thing they gave out was, man know thyself. We are who we are conscious entities. We are in soul bodies. We have got body, we have got intellect, we have got outward faculties. So knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis. How to liberate ourselves from mind, outward faculty. As I explained to you last night, that we are conscious entities, under the control of mind, mind under the control of outward faculties, and outward faculties are dragged like anything from the outer enjoyment. We are conscious entities, but identified with the mind, outward faculties, body and the world around us, so much so that we are forgotten also. So spirituality means we dying our conscious self from the mind, outgoing faculties and body and all around us. It is matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself that we are carrying this factory of the man body. So the outer expression of the soul is called attention. These different departments of the body, which are sight, hearing, touch, taste and smell, these only work when our attention is with them. So with our attention from these, with our open eyes we cannot see, with ears open we cannot hear. When you eat also, when your attention is absorbed in something else, you don't feel any taste. So spirituality is the conscious knowing about the conscious self, which is driving this whole machinery of the body and its different departments. That is to know oneself. Social body, ancient being, as I told you, when the masters left the scene to keep their teachings alive, so social body came into being. So long as they are made with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit, so long as the practical people were there, people were able to derive full benefit of knowing oneself, and also that old self which keeps us in the body controlled, and that power which controls the whole universe. For want of practical people, the same good old custom terminated, deterioration passed. We forgot who we are, what we are. So we reach to the conclusion that spirituality is not bearing the different labels on the man body. We chose in which school we are learning to know oneself and to know God by self-analysis. So it is the basic teachings of all masters. When the society came into being, naturally laws had to be made. How the society can be run without laws? The differences in the outer forms of religion is due to either narrow-mindedness, bigotry, or pragmatic influences, or the customs prevailing. I explained all this to you last night. Now the question arises, we need teachers in any subject we want to follow. You follow that the true education of the child commences from there, from the womb of the mother. Whatever thoughts of the mother are, they are impressed in the child within the womb. And then comes when he comes out of his womb, then parents, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters teach the child, their teacher. When they grow old, school teachers come up to train them, to teach them. All in the outer subjects which relate to the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, there we need somebody to guide us, those who are adept in that life. If man wants to be a wrestler, he will go to the feet of a wrestler. If a man wants to be educated, higher studies, he will go to a teacher. Similarly, any subject that we have to take, we need somebody adept in that life. Similarly, all these subjects which I refer to relate to the outgoing faculties, our body, our intellect. There we do need someone to guide us on the way, but in the way where all philosophies end, there the religion starts. I submitted you last night, the word religion means bring it back, leisure to bind. To bind back our soul by withdrawing from outside and contacting the controlling power which is called God into expression power within our own self. This is a subject where also we need somebody. We'll adapt that way. Call it by any name you like. When outer pursuits, we do need somebody. Why not in a case which starts by rising above body consciousness? And the first step is there. How to withdraw from outside, how to rise above body consciousness, how to have a leap into the beyond, and what to do thereafter, do we not need anybody? It's a matter for common sense to decide. Now in the terminology of the saints, the word teacher, the word guru, the word master, these things are used there. They say without a guru nothing can be done, can be no problem. Now I have to dwell on this subject. Who is a guru? Who can guide us both ways in the worldly affairs too, and how to rise above body from the objective side into the subjective side? Rise above body consciousness to transcend into the beyond, and also guide us further in that place. So if we have to learn that teachings of the Master which they give, there must be somebody who is adept that way. So what the Masters have been defining, this word guru or teacher or master, I will quote you from different masters what they thought about it and what we are taking it to be. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your guru? And he said, Shabad is my guru. So what is Shabd? Shabd, God is a Shabd. God is wordless. When it came to being, it is called Shabd or word. The Shabd stands for the power, which God into special power, which is maker of all creation and controlling all creation and permeating all creation. So that power is the true Guru, which controls all universe and so controls us in the body. This is what Guru Nanak said. Then came up Kabir. He says, I have been sent from God to bring you back home. He does not say, I am God. I am the messenger. Prophet Muhammad also had to say the same thing. So all others, they say they are the messengers who know the way back to God and have been authorized to take you back home. So, 10th Guru was asked, who is your Guru? I simply quote these things to you so that this word Guru or teacher or master, what does it stand for and what are his qualifications? He says, well, the one who existed before this world came into being, when he came to expression, that God into expression power is my Guru. He has quoted his previous birth also, refer to previous birth, that place has been found even now. He says, I was there, past birth, I was so much absorbed in God and so much in that intoxication that I would not like to leave that place, and God ordered me to come to the world. I said, God, what will I do? Because my mind did not like to come up here. But I will order, then ask me what to do. He said, most of the people that have sent to the world, they have only worshipped, God worshipped their own selves rather than me. Now Christ came, he always referred to the Father who has sent him. He said, I am the Son of God. That's right, I am sent by God, you see. Now Kabir also said, I am the messenger of God. Prophet Muhammad also said the same thing. He says, who I am? He says, I am the servant of God and servant of you all. I am sent here to see what is going on in the world below. So take me as your helper, to help you your way back to God. So I am sent by God. I am not the God. Then he gave very strong admonition, because that was the custom. You see, generally we take those people who came here, they take as God. He says, whosoever tells me that I am God, will go to hell. So that you avoid those people from misunderstanding that the people have got at last. So you will find that God into expression power, which is controlling all universe and controlling us in the body too, as I submitted yesterday. This is a wonderful house in which we live in. There are so many apertures in this body, but we cannot run away out of it. That keeps us controlled in the body. So body works so long as we are in the body. We leave this body only when that power leaves us, is withdrawn. So we have to leave the body. So, wherever that resides in every heart, but in which he is manifest, overflowing, he is called the Guru, he is called the Master. He will become the mouthpiece of the, that power working through him. As Guru Nanak said, I am the mouthpiece of God. Christ said, I am only telling you what Father has told you to do. Go back home. We do have respect for all these, you see. Who can unite us with God? Is there no father, no brother, no parent? But that God with expression power, where it is manifested, given a commission to bring back the children back to home, that is him we address as a Guru or a Master. So for that reason, what is the criterion of such a man? He will only withdraw your soul, your attention of the soul from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, and there he will connect you with the God into special power, the two phases of which is light and sound. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Who withdraws your attention from outside enables to hear that God into special power, which is sound principle going on in the world, which is music of the spheres, which is called Nada, which is called Kalam-e-Kaleem, who makes that sound audible to you, he is called a man. Paltu says, when you in the body from above, who that withdraws your attention, soul from the body and gives you contact with that hearing of that nada, the voice of God, he is a Guru. Then what brings you in contact of the sound? He says, open your inner ears to hear the sound principle reverberating in all creation, resembling like a bell. Now you see, in our outer worship, we light the candles, we ring the bells. In our churches, temples, mosques, they are made out of the manner of man body, and there they put in those symbols, two symbols of light and sound, to show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating within you. Withdraw your attention from outside and hear that sound coming from the heaven. That you cannot hear, that light you cannot see, unless you are down from outside and rise above body consciousness. The one who is competent to give you this contact of the two aspects of the God into expression power is called a Guru. The word Guru means who removes the dark veil from your before your eyes and manifests the light of God. That light of God and sound has different stages, according to the densities of the planes beyond. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. Just think for a moment what I am placing before you. What is the terminology of the saints means Guru or Master? So, all Masters say like that. That's not only the thing what you should see. So, Guru, what is it? He is the Word made flesh. It is a link between man and God, who is competent to withdraw our attention, which is the outer expression of our soul, from all outside, from the body below, give you a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and give you a contact with the light and sound principle within you, and you bear testimony that you see light. You bear testimony that the sound principle is going on. Who can do that? Then they shall tell us what? Don't believe in the words of a guru or a master unless you see for your own self. You bear testimony that there is light, there is sound principle. So these are the things which are all masters said. You know, Christ also said that I must work the work of Him that has sent me. While it is day, the word marked the day, day means alive. And the night cometh when no man can do anything. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. These are the words of St. John, really. I mean to say, to place before you, what the people are with in great misapprehension, what this word guru or master stands for. It is something who himself rises above body consciousness and makes you rise above it, gives a demonstration of it, and you bear testimony, you are not the body. You bear testimony, and these things are given in our scriptures. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. These symbols are kept in the temples, churches, other holy places of worship, after the model of man body, that such like light is within you and such like sound is vibrating within you. So, the same has been said by all masters when they came in one social body or the other. Such like masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their father's home, who is competent to raise our attention from outside, raise us from the body below, open our inner eye, and we testify their light inside. That's the lowest grade, of course, but that will grow more and more as your eyes above plane. There are many mentions in the house of my father. Others say macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have been given bodies to work in those planes. We are now working in the physical body. The light is covered by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers. You see, the light is not there, but as you shake off one cover, you see some light. If you shake the other cover, there is still more light. If all covers are shaken off, you see full light. Those who see the full light, he is called a khalfa, he is called a true Sikh. Those who see that light, he is called the truly a Hindu. Those who see that light, that is truly called a Muslim. And those who see that light, they are called true Christians. Not by the outer labels that we are carrying of one religion or social body or the other. By joining that, it means we have joined certain school of thought to see the light of God. That school is creditable, it turns out many students like that successful. So all masters, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us till the end of the world. But so long that power works at the human pole, he guides all child humanity. As I just quoted, they have to work when it is day, when I am alive. When the night comes, nobody can work. So I am so long as I am in the body, I am the light of the world. This is all on the master sentences. So this generation goes on from posterity to posterity. That's the system of God, you see. This work is carried on. At one place, you remember, Christ said, well, I'll send that Holy Ghost to guide you further later on in the world. So world made flesh is the Guru. You see? Who is conscious of that power working through him. He knows what has been given, what Christ and others say. He says, I am doing that work which God has told me, my Father has told me to do. They've got some plan before them. They see and then say. So this thing goes on, you see. Demand and supply, neem goes on. One bulb is fused, another is put on. Light is the same. That light, world made flesh, never leaves you. Here and hereafter too. So all masters tell us, all I take to the feet of somebody who is taught, who is a guru in that sense of the word. Not, we are also, you see, respect all those teachers which give us, at whose feet we do learn so many things out of. We have respect for them. But this is something which starts where the world philosophy ends. When you rise above what you say, outgoing faculties, your mind is still. There the religions are. Religion means remains that leads you to bind. Like yoga. Yoga means to join your soul with God. God into special power mind that, not God absolute. God special power is the way back to absolute God. That has got two aspects. Light and sound. You can ride on the ray of the sun, where will it lead you? Lead you to the ray from where, sun, from where it is emanating. So all Master says, the world made flesh. I and my Father are one. The world was with God and the world was God. You see, all creation came into the world. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All these are quoting from Bible and others too. What is Naam, or word, or kalma? Naam is a place, or Shabd is a place, from all this emanated, this creation of the world came into being. And when dissolution comes, this just results into that, again new world begins. So that power is God's word, or Naam, or Shabd. Who is the mouthpiece of that power? He is truly respecting. We can derive full benefit from him by his presence. Guru Amar Das, for 70 long years, after search for God, he came to the feet of such a master. He said, it is a very great fortune that I met with such a living master. Of course, it is a great blessing to have a living master. So, this is, what is the job, you see, generally? Kabir says, these men two appear to be two. God man, God in man, and that power of God into expression, in appearance they appear to be two, but the other is the mouthy of the first one. So, all masters say like that. Mara Room says that God sent us to the world. He came himself into the world, took the form of a man. He has sealed our eyes and ears there, so that may not see and may not hear. Here he comes in the form of man and takes up those seals from our eyes and our ears. This is what Christ also said, all the things. I have come to make those who do not see, see. These are the terms, you see, that can be understood when you are sit at the feet of some practical master. The basic teachings of all has been the same. And when you meet such a master, he never leaves you. Here and hereafter.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk called Who is Really a Master? Given by Master on October 9th, 1972, in the Hunter College Playhouse in New York City. Our reader this evening is Marcia Crosby.
Good evening. Today I will be reading from the life and teachings of Baba Sawan Singh Ji, as printed in The Way of the Saints. And I'm starting on page 22. I would like to relate a couple of instances of Hazur in those days. Hazur was physically ailing, for the body alone is subject to diseases, and the great souls very often vicariously take upon themselves the people's burden of karmic action. During partition days, when passions were running high, some Muslims came to Hazur for protection. He lovingly kept them in the dera. In September 1947, Hazur planned to go to Amritsar. When I went to see him with the hope of accompanying him to Amritsar, Hazur bade me remain at the dera and look after the comforts of the dera people and the Muslims according to the exigencies at the moment. A Muslim caravan was to leave that day for Pakistan. Hazur therefore enjoined me to escort the Muslims of the dera to that caravan. It so happened that a torrential downpour of rain came on that day. Hazur felt a deep agony and said, "Our Muslim brethren are in a very poor plight, but we have no sympathy for them in our heart." As Hazur started for Amritsar, he saw a huge crowd of Muslims near the Beyaz railway station. A jamadar was in the car with him, and in spite of his protests, Hazur ordered the car to be taken right to the Muslim horde and pulled it up just in their midst. He called for the leader of the Muslim caravan, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "I have in the dera a few Muslim brethren, and would very much like to see them safely escorted across the border. Such, indeed, are the acts of high-souled saints." His heart was full of compassion and pity for the suffering humanity. In the evening, a truckload of Muslims prepared to join the evacuees on the march. When all of a sudden I heard the news that a band of armed Akalis had gathered near dera and intended to raid it and massacre the Muslims. All alone I went to them, full of confidence in Hazur's munificence and greatness. A few of the Akalis, with spears and spades, blocked my way. I said to them, "These helpless brethren have come to Hazur for protection. It behooves the Khalsas to extend the protection that they seek. The spirit of the Khalsa requires no demands, that those who seek mercy must be given mercy. You had better hug them to your bosoms." Hearing these words, a couple of aged Akalis came forward and said, "You have this day saved the Khalsas from what would otherwise have been a great sacrilege and heinous crime of taking away the life of so many of these poor souls. We shall not now touch a hair of these people." All this transformation from a bloodthirsty mood to that of sympathy and fellow feeling came through the grace of Hazur. As the truck was about to pass by the Akalis, I stopped it and said, "These brethren of ours are today quitting their hearts and homes, not because of any hatred toward us, but are being driven to it by sheer necessity. We have all these years been living together in peace and concord. Will it not be good if we bid goodbye to them with loving embraces?" This touched them to the core. In an instant, I found the two, Akalis and Muslims, hugging each other with tears streaming down their cheeks, the two who just a short while before were anxious to cut each other's throats. No religion permits manslaughter or genocide. We indulge in these things because we are taught the wrong way, and rebellion is used as a smokescreen for the perpetration of terrible deeds to serve selfish ends. There are instances on record wherein Muslims also saved the lives of Hindus, and vice versa. The fact remains that whosoever has learned the true import of his religion has an all-embracing love for the entire humanity and is not torn by sectional and communal love. It is said, O man of wisdom, Moses, thou wert sent to knit people unto me, God, and not to lead my people away from me. Once a shepherd boy leading his goats to pasture in a meadow sat under a tree and lovingly began to commune with God in this wise. O God, I wish that both of us should live side by side. I shall not make thee discomfortable. Should thou fall ill, I shall attend thee day and night. Should thou get tired, I shall massage thy hands and feet. I shall bring thee barley bread and spinach to eat, and give thee goats fresh milk to drink. I shall pick up lice from thy hair, and give thee a hair wash with milk and curd. The shepherd boy was deeply absorbed in these thoughts when the prophet Moses passed by that way. He shouted at the boy and said, O fool, why art thou blaspheming? God is altogether unlike thee, and shall not eat thy barley bread and spinach, nor shall he ever fall ill or get lice in his head. The boy was stunned to hear this and began to tingle in every nerve and inquired, Perhaps I am wrong. I ought not to have talked like this. Will the great God be annoyed with me? With these thoughts within him, he began to cry. As he sobbed, he felt comforted and in harmony with the higher power. In that blissful state, he had a vision of God. The celestial visitant consoled him with the words, I shall accept all thy offerings, for I am well pleased with thee. In the meanwhile, Moses, having reached the heights of Mount Sinai, sat in meditation and felt within him the voice of God, saying, O Moses, I am thoroughly annoyed with thee. Thou art guilty of breaking the heart of that shepherd boy who was communing with me with all love and affection. The prophet was surprised and said, O God, his words were not of love, but were blasphemous. The great God replied, Thou knowest that the world of that boy contained nothing else but barley bread, spinach, goat's milk, and lice. I gave thee wisdom, and had thou utilized it, thou wouldst not have spoken like this. I sent thee into the world that thou mayest knit me to those who are separated from me, and not that thou shouldst rend asunder loving hearts that are one with me. Hazur possessed this attribute in great abundance. He would unite thousands of people in one common brotherhood. All of us that are assembled here belong to that great fraternity into which Hazur bound us together. We must not only live in peace and harmony, but have love and affection for all humanity. This will only be possible when one understands the true import of Hazur's teachings. Generally, when such high souls pass away, the following degenerates. Petty-mindedness creeps in, and we begin worshiping mammon and sin. Hazur used to tell us that when a high soul comes into the world, the worshippers of wealth and women also gather around him. Hence, he said, whatever a person asked of me, I granted. He who wanted riches got riches. He who wished for lands was given lands. Those who wanted me alone got me in abundance. Throughout his lifetime, he left no stone unturned for reforming and improving the angle of vision of the masses. In spite of his attaining the age of 90, he set aside all his bodily comforts and stubbornly devoted 18 out of 24 hours of the day in the service of humanity, and thus afforded spiritual satisfaction to every aspirant, both publicly and in seclusion. Physical structure composed of flesh, blood, and bones, like machinery, can only work up to a limited extent. The result of this carelessness towards his bodily rest and consistent hard labor came out to be that his physical frame could not endure the burden of weariness anymore. And on continued requests and entreaties from almost every individual, Hazur yielded to their prayers and was inclined to take rest and seek medical advice. Accordingly, in September 1947, he came to Amritsar for medical treatment, but before leaving Dera, a managing committee for management of Dera affairs was constituted there. His health improved a little at Amritsar, but it became worse on October 4, 1947. On October 5th, Hazur sent for me from Beyaz. In a week's time, his condition was again better. On the morning of October 12th, at 7 o'clock, he called me. When I was in his august presence, he said, Kirpal Singh, I have allotted all other work, but have not entrusted my task of non-initiation and spiritual work to anyone. That I confer on you today, so that this holy and sacred science may flourish. Hearing this, my eyes were filled with tears, and afflicted as I was, I beseeched, Hazur, the peace and security that I have in sitting at thy feet here cannot be had in the higher planes. My heart was filled with anguish. I could not speak any more, and sat staring, Hazur encouraging and caressing me all the time. After this, whenever I had the honor to be in seclusion with Hazur, he talked about the interior affairs of Dera and instructed me how to act when he departed forever. During the days of his confinement on the bed of sickness in the last days of February 1948, one day Hazur inquired, how many souls have been initiated by me? Registers were consulted. And after counting was finished, Hazur was told, up till now, about 150,000 souls have been awakened by Hazur. Hazur said, all right. On the same day, in the evening, when I was with him, Hazur said, Kirpal Singh, I have done half of your work and have given Nam to over 1.5 lakh persons, and the rest you have to accomplish. I, with folded hands and faltering words, said, Hazur, it will be as Hazur orders, but I have a request. I wish that this last half of the work may also be finished by Hazur. We will dance as Hazur will make us dance. I wish Hazur may remain with us and sit, only watching all that, and all orders will be complied with in Hazur's presence. Hazur lay silently gazing at me. In those very days, one night, Hazur, mentioning his inner esoteric experiences, remarked, "The sun has risen high. Can the people of Julandur also see this sun?" The relatives and friends sitting nearby were ignorant of this secret expression. The opinion of the doctor in charge was also, like others beside him, that Hazur's brain was not working properly on account of his illness. A little later at night, when I went to him, Hazur repeated the same question, addressing me. "Kirpal Singh, the sun has risen high. Can the people of Julandur also see this sun?" I replied, "Yes, Hazur, the sun has risen high. And not only the people of Julandur, but also those living in England or America who will traverse to inner planes can see this sun." And Master has a footnote here that says Julandur is a town in East Punjab, about 15 miles from Beas. Guru Nanak, when nearing his earthly end, also spoke of this sun to his sons and to his devoted follower who succeeded him. The rishis of old referred to it in the Gayatri Mantra. Thereupon, Hazur said, "You have correctly answered my question." Similarly, Hazur made mention of several hidden secrets, but those around him were hardly able to grasp what Hazur was hinting at, this being a subject familiar only to those who are practical inlookers and spiritually skilled. What, therefore, could other poor fellows know about them? Surveying the surrounding occurrences and events, Hazur once observed, "It's a pity that the followers of Sant Mat also are becoming a prey to misconception. The teachings of saints is, see with your own eyes. Until you see with your own eyes, do not even believe your master. As is said, until I see with my own eyes, I will not be convinced at heart, even by guru's words." This is the dictum and basic pillar of Sant Mat faith, and it is an established fact that the disciple should peep inside and talk with his master. Those engaged in abhyas, or spiritual practices, generally do not forget everything about and leave all thoughts of their physical body for withdrawal and turning inward. Whoever, with love in his mind, regularly follows the method according to the instructions of his master, will meet the master within and will testify to the authenticity thereof. This is a way which can be seen and practiced in one's lifetime. Accordingly, you do and see. But those who do not apply themselves in abhyas say, to withdraw and tap inside is wrong, uncertain, and doubtful. And if at all it is possible that somebody peeps inside, then the inner experiences are not believable. Unless they themselves peep inside, they cannot have faith in the experiences of those few who do have such experiences. Hazur said, "My followers should never trust in such incredulous persons, unlinked and infirm believers as they themselves are. They will shake their belief in faith. It is therefore incumbent on my followers to open their inner eye. When their soul will withdraw from physical body, they will realize the truth of it. Remember that this science of traversing to inner higher planes is not wrong and is correct, definite, certain, and sure to the last word." Those who have traversed have corroborated this. Sant Tulsi Sahib says, "The soul of a rare saint traverses into the higher planes and beholds the sight of them. The whole world is unaware of this highway to Almighty's throne, which is, so to say, enveloped in mystery and hard to understand. Sant Paltu Das says, "The light of all knowledge radiated in heaven inside, seeing which my mind was full of joy. I saw it really existing. It can be seen by opening the inner eye. In that light, I saw that all that attracts us here, as well as the whole world, is a big fraud. How did I get to this end? It was by analyzing the self and God through the mint of true Shabd. Thus, attuning to Shabd, Paltu cast asunder the veil and withdrew inside to see the truth." Again, one day the Master spake thus, "I am not tied to any one or particular place. The saints who come commissioned from above tell the world of the true path, and those who come seeking true knowledge are informed of the way to meet God. Worldly people, in order to meet their worldly needs, gather round them and make them as means of earning livelihood. When such wealth is accumulated in abundance, a number out of them turn out to be worshippers of mammon, whose lust can never be satisfied. When such circumstances are created, saints withdraw from such a place. The souls of sincere seekers after truth cannot get any solace from such a place. Such places then become the seats of mahants and gaudi nashins. These titles are usually given to those working or posing at one particular place in the name of previous saints or sages after the latter abandon or depart physically. True saints are not fastened to any religious sect or dress. They are free personalities. They are neither a party to one nor a foe to the other. They impart the true lesson as to how to reach God. Those who will apply themselves to Abhyas in their company will succeed, and the others who keep themselves aloof and far away from them remain unlucky." Hazur more than once emphatically declared, "The mission of spirituality can only be carried on successfully by one adept in spirituality. It cannot be entrusted to a spiritually blind person. Whoever has a desire to find me out can reach me within through one who is linked with me. You will not find me in the company of those who are after possessions of the world. Be not deceived by such people. Do Abhyas and peep inside your own self and meet me. I do not dwell in the midst of mayic insects. Go to some selfless being who is after me and lives for me and is not after possession of deras, ashrams. Gurumukh is delighted to have his guru, while a manmukh wallows in luxury and pleasures of the world, maya." On another occasion, he said, "Kirpal Singh, the people will flock to the place where they would find the riches of Nam. What have you to gain from Dera? You better leave Dera. When Babaji came from Agra, he brought with him neither money nor followers. He fetched within him only his guru, and through his blessings the present Dera came into existence. The Sangat is dear to me even now, just as it was before. It is now imperative for the Sangat to do Abhyas and go within. By doing so, all will be able to understand things as they are. Everybody has treasures of knowledge within. Even an illiterate man, if he secures the assistance of an educated person, can become a graduate and an M.A. If you sit by some illiterate person for the whole of your life, you will not be able to attain the degree of M.A. Do not waste your time. If you want to gain knowledge of spirituality, then go and sit by some spiritual adept who is practically skilled. He will wake up the dormant spiritual faculties within you. He has not to give anything from himself. Keep on impressing the need of abhyas on the entire sangat and go on doing satsang. The souls are getting help from within and will continue to get it. You obey the orders of your guru. If an obedient wife acts according to the bidding and wishes of her husband, and the people call her bad names, let them do so. You have to carry on the mission under the orders of your master. Do not care if Mrs. Grundy grunts. Tell everybody to do abhyas fondly and to invert within to reach the astral form of the master. Thereafter, whenever during Hazur's lifetime I had an opportunity to go to him, he talked on the subject of propagating spirituality and gave necessary instructions regarding its real shape, significance, and basic fundamentals of the problem. Consequently, during Hazur's lifetime, and in strict conformity with his wishes, in November 1947, a proposal for spiritual satsang was laid before him, the main benefits of which were solely the ethical and spiritual benefit of mankind in general, irrespective of caste, color, or creed, which was heartily appreciated by Hazur, saying, "I am wholly and solely at one with you in this endeavor," and directed me to give practical shape to the scheme. It is therefore due to his blessings alone that Ruhani Satsang today is working successfully in and outside Delhi. The sole objective of this satsang is to present spirituality to mankind in general in a lucid, scientific form. The subjects of purification, knowledge of self, and knowledge of God are being dealt with practically, so that people of different castes and creeds, living in their own circles, are benefiting thereby. Old followers, as well as the new ones, are deriving benefit from this science, and every day inner experiences of both of them plainly show that Hazur Maharaj Sahib is helping them with his hidden hand far more forcefully than ever. Such ever-living personalities are personified models of self-sacrifice. Even during his confinement to bed, not caring for his tender health, Hazur continued to quench the thirst of those thirsty for spiritual guidance and teachings. Besides the outer health, there was inner guidance also to its fullest extent. Such master souls are mere human beings to our eyes, but in reality are unseen supreme power, clothed in body, that works unfettered beyond the limits of this body also. I'll just skip ahead to the end here. Let us raise our hands in prayer that that fountainhead of all peace and comfort may grant patience to all those of us left behind, and inspire us with the courage and strength to enable us to fly to Hazur in higher spiritual regions, to talk to him, and to place our heads at his feet. That was the life of Baba Salan Singh from The Way of the Saints. Thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Marcia. There were 45 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So thank you all of my, for your patient hearing, what I've come to know for this week for you. I will carry my sweet remembrance of you all and pray God may take you back home. That's all I can say, the best wishes I can have for all of you.